Broadcasting from the bar in the Barthcade, this is the Coin Rejects episode 34. So we're back.
Yeah, sorry for the delay.
Sitting here with my fellow rejects.
I'm Jordan.
Brandon.
Ian.
And I'm Brian. And you can find us on the web at coinrejects.com.
And on Instagram, Twitter, at coinrejects.com.
And at Instagram, at coinrejects.com.
On Gmail, at coinrejects.com.
Coming to you live, 36,000 BTUs from the furnace.
And you can send us a voicemail at
coinrejects.com. 503-766-2263.com.
Is that the right number?
503-766-2263.
Sounds like the right number.
Yeah, operators are standing by.
Yeah. I believe that's it.
Totally.
What's happening, fellas?
Man, it's good to be back on the mic.
It's been a while.
Yeah, I love to hear my voice.
Males.
We love to hear your voice as well.
You need an excuse to drink purple vodka.
Drinking that Sizzurp with some Robitussin 2084.
We got an email.
We do.
Hit it.
We do.
The Siri can play it for us.
One of our many emails. This is a choice email that we've chosen.
Plucked out.
I don't know what you expected to happen. You have to stand up.
It says, okay, here, Gary Smith. When looking for old CRT TVs for donor tubes, what do I look for? What are some good ones to stock up on? Do you guys have old CRT TVs sitting around? Love the show, Gary from Small Town, Indiana.
Small Town.
Awesome. We love you too, Gary. And they named a city after you in Indiana, if you didn't know already. Okay. Next question.
You didn't even fucking answer it.
I'll go for it. Yeah, I got a shitload of TVs. I pick up every one I can. They ain't making any more of them. I just pick them up. If it's 19-inch, I pick it up. If it's 13-inch, I pick it up. It's 25-inch, sometimes I pick it up.
What if it's rear projection flat screen?
I do not pick it up.
Trinitron?
So, honestly, at this point, I just grab whatever I can and sort it out later. Got pallets of them all wrapped up, just in case. I'll need them someday. Someone will need them someday.
Gary from Small Town needs them.
Seems like the curb one, the ones on free on the curb are kind of drying up. Seems like you used Definitely. To see them all over the place now. You rarely see them.
Yeah, I'm going to say that again. I think they're drying up because the last time I said they were drying up, like the very next week, I got four. So
next week you're going to find eight.
I better find another at two at least.
Awesome.
Look for the 19s. 19s seem to be the least common now. I see a lot of the bigger ones. I see a lot of the 13 inches. Don't see many 19s. Bad news. Yeah. Look at the model number on the back of it. It can be pretty easy to confuse 19 and 20. 20 is totally useless for arcade shit.
You can shove it in there. It's okay.
No, it ain't right.
You could, though.
So if you look at the model number on the back, a 19-inch usually will have 19 in it. 20-inch will usually have 20 in it. Same deal with 25 and 27 and 29. It can be hard to tell those apart. So just make sure you know what you're grabbing. Trinitron shit doesn't work for arcades. So I grab it anyway, but not for that.
Unless you have fake arcades, like fake bullshit games.
Flat screen, flat CRT stuff. I guess it's good for consoles, but ain't good for arcade games.
Yeah. But I mean, if you don't know, as you're driving by, throw it in there and you can look in the back of the vent with a flashlight. You can usually see the tube number.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you actually got to know is the tube number to know if it's going to be cross-compatible. But, you know, pretty much if it's 19-inch, it'll go in something.
Yeah, that's being picky, looking at the number. Grab 19s at this point. That's what I do. I got a pile of them.
Yep. I just look at the model number on the back to see what it is. 20-inch, I leave there. Most anything else, I'll grab.
So chances are your best bet is you'll get the most common thing is you'll get skinny neck CR31 19s. Mm-hmm. That's what's most common out there, and those go real nice with a K7000 chassis.
Indeed they do. It's a pretty easy swap. Use the don't bother trying to find a donor yoke that works. Just use the yoke off your K7000. Read the manual on how to converge it. It ain't that hard. A lot of people make it out like it's really hard. It's not. It's really easy. Well, maybe it's not really easy, but it's not too hard.
Yeah, I used to try to find yokes that were compatible, and I don't bother with it anymore. I'll just put the arcade yoke on it because then all the hardware matches up.
Wear your dishwasher gloves of choice.
Yeah.
Or whatever kind of.
I don't know. What about? I have like, I don't know, 5 or 6. Mainly the 13-inch. Or the VCR combos.
Yeah.
A couple of those. They seem like.
Those are out there still.
The combo VCRs are usually like the 13-inch TVs for some reason.
Yeah. I don't know why. I have a couple built into 19s. I think I have one with a DVD player.
Ooh,
nice. It seems like 19 inch is the perfect size to throw out, and so a lot of them have been thrown out already. 13 inches tend to get like bumped down to the kids' room. Anything 25 or above is too much of a bitch to move, so they just sit around. But the 19's easy enough to move and small enough to justify replacing with a big fucking giant ass LCD, so don't see too many of those anymore. So grab any you can. That's my advice.
Yeah.
Making more.
You know, I recommend cold calling some retirement homes.
Did you guys hear about the big scam as far as like recycling tubes?
I saw those photos of like this huge warehouse full of them. I was like, fuck, how do I get into this?
Yeah,
I didn't hear about this.
It was some fucking government contract type of bullshit where like, you know, someone was making a couple bucks for for every tube to get recycled, and they all ended up in this one place, but they actually didn't have anywhere to go, and then they just like kind of went bankrupt or something.
Yeah, they just stored them and shuffled them back and forth to different storage facilities, I think.
Yeah, they said that they were recycling them, but they weren't. They don't have a way to recycle them. They just fucking said that they did, and so they were getting like everybody's tubes, and they were getting paid to take them.
Soylent CRT.
Yeah. I've really thought that I think it would be a good business to get into electronic salvage, because keep whatever good shit comes along and then
just scrap the metal chassis.
No. Just take the old shit and take them to another recycler.
I got this stripped thing.
Take it all. Yeah. Take a truckload to the Goodwill every week. Here you go.
Yeah. Or throw it in the trash, whatever.
The second part of the tube swap question that always comes up, though, is the disposal, right? That goes right into that.
Yeah.
Is
disposing the old tube.
Yeah. And I know you guys, I think, Ian, you've had trouble before, but I actually dropped off a CRT in a frame to the Goodwill drop-off center once, and they didn't care.
Oh, that's my old. Oh, in the frame.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say my old trick is to put the burnt tube
in the
TV.
That's what I do now.
And then cut the cord.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, man. I played a lot of Pac-Man sideways. What can I say?
Play a lot of Sinistar sideways.
All day. Yeah. I don't have the remote, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, I threw a chassis in there, then I cut off the power cord.
Yeah.
That's the responsible way.
I agree. I tried to get rid of, so you can get rid of a bare tube as long as it's not broken. It used to be okay. I could take it to a place and they would take it. They won't do that anymore. But I had one that I got that was necked, and I had a hard ass time getting rid of that. They told me to take it to the hazardous materials disposal facility. And then I took it there and they were like, yeah, we don't deal with it at all. You got to take it to an electronics recycler. I said, I already been there. They sent me here, and they said, okay, we'll go over to the other lane. I'll go over there, and they have these, like, this is at the dump, and they've got these boxes where they put all the electronics to get recycled. And I was like, yeah, it's broken. And they said, oh, well, we can't put that in there. I said, okay, well, what do you want me to do? I've been 4 places. No one will take it. And they're like, eh, just throw it in the pile.
So the pile there?
Into the landfill.
Oh, nice.
The pile that goes into the landfill. Nice. So now, broken or not, I just throw that shit in a TV case, and I figure it's got a better chance of not poisoning people.
I've beaten them to pieces and thrown them in my garbage before.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Fucking old world arcade swapper.
Fucking scrapper.
So that was good.
Cut it in half and turn it into a display.
Speaking of which, the tube thing. So we were down at the Blair Alley.
Blair Alley? What?
In there. Yeah, Blair Alley down in Eugene.
You're jumping topics, dog.
I am, but this is a good segue. So they had a bunch of tubes down there, and he was paying money to get rid of them all. I mean, they were the monitors that we don't like.
Yeah.
But he was having to pay. How much did he say he was paying?
$2 a tube. You're the recycler
guy. It was
guy.
Like That's 20 you. Bucks a monitor. Jeez. Or something to get rid of them. Yeah. Yeah, it was all big. Big tube monitors.
Fucking get them and dump them off.
Yeah. We can talk about that later if you don't like me skipping around there.
That's fine.
Yeah. But also, should we talk about going down there? Oh, you didn't go down there, Brian. You weren't there. I'm looking at you. But
no one
it was
else
actually,
was there.
It was just me and Kenny J. And Ian, you were kind of there because we were picking up games spirit. For you.
I was there the time before you went.
I was also there that time. Right. Yeah. And you were there.
I've been there.
Brandon has nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
Zero.
I still got games, huh?
But you did. You got a game out of there, too.
Yep.
So anyhow, there's a great classic arcade in Eugene, Oregon called Blair Alley, and some great guys who are collectors who own that, and they've definitely, their motto has been over the years, we turned down no games, basically, because they had a lot of space, and they would just fill it up with whatever games, and then they lost some of their storage space, so it was like, they reached out to us, like the collector community, first to say, hey, man, we got some cool stuff down here. This is like fire sale prices. Come on down and grab this stuff. And so
we obliged.
Yeah, that they didn't have to. They did not have to ask twice. We were down there that weekend, and I loaded up my flatbed trailer with more weight than it ever had on it before. I think I brought back 9 games out of there. And we paid like nothing for them, it seems like. You could do that away from the microphone, you know.
It's atmosphere.
So, it was a good time. I mean, we'd been in that warehouse before, so we kind of knew what was down there. A lot of games were missing monitors or missing this or that. But most of the cabinets were pretty solid. And for the, you know, the cheap prices they were giving them away for was, you know, well, well worth it. So, yeah, I ended up with a Missile Command that was like really nice cabinet, and so I'll be putting that back together and probably getting rid of it because I already have a Missile Command. But it needs to be saved. I mean, it's a nice cabinet.
No, it doesn't.
It's Missile Command. Yes, it does. No, it's a great game. Yeah, the trackball is amazing. Like, it's sitting on my bench, and somebody was like, Doug was like, oh, you cleaned that up. I'm like, no, I just pulled it out of the game. He's like, well, there's no rust on the metal. I'm like, no, it's a good game. It's in good shape. But
it happens.
What did you end up getting, Ian?
I picked up a Defender Upright Sans Monitor and a Tempest Cocktail Sans Monitor.
That's right. Both of those games were in really nice shape. I think your Defender was like the nicest game of the bunch. It was actually in the arcade. It was
a nice
looking game. Yeah. Yeah. But, and a Tempest Cocktail.
Yeah. That's a pretty uncommon one.
Yeah. Yeah. No monitor.
Yep. Yeah. I got an extra.
Yeah. Did it have a board? No game board.
I think it has a board.
What?
I haven't even looked at them. So, as far as I know, they just went right back into my storage.
So
I think it's complete minus monitor.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah. So my big score was Tomahawk Missile, and if you look in VAPS, there weren't any. Now there is one of mine.
And that's so,
one of yours.
Well, two. I actually got two.
Rarity's not.
I know rarity's not an indication of value, but I think this is
it's an indication
game.
Of fucking coolness, though.
That's what I
Tomahawk
think.
Tomahawk Gristle.
Yeah, it's an indication that I got one and you don't. So how about that? It's 1980. It's totally classic.
Is there a Crazy Climber 80 from 80 video on it?
I doubt it.
Yeah, it should be.
So it's in MAME. As Tomahawk Missile or as Tomahawk 777?
666.
The latter.
Yeah. Is it Deco? Yeah. Data East. Which is weird because this is Electro.
It's a license.
Yeah. Electro. What's
Sport?
Electro Sport. Thank you. Thank you. I should have.
Electro Jort.
I should have thought about this before I actually talked about it. Which I didn't. So Electro Sport licensed it evidently from Data East. And which was Deco, and then Deco released it themselves like 3 years later, which is really strange to me. Yeah, the Tomahawk thing is like dated. Tomahawk 6777 is like like 83, and this game is 80. So very strange. But I'm looking forward to having some time to maybe try to get one working because it's emulated in MAME, but the sounds are shit. So you know that.
Yeah.
That they didn't get the sounds, so I'm kind of stoked to be able to hear this. So
what if you?
That's why I went down there. And big props to Blair Alley for giving me these games. Thanks, guys.
What if you you get the game working and the game has no sound?
And that is like,
they never made sound for it.
I would be pissed.
What is the gameplay like on that?
It's a shooter. It's very Galaxian type shooter.
It's like reverse depth charge, right?
Well, you're supposedly underwater, yeah, which just means it's a shooter that has two colors of background.
It's like Polaris, kind of.
Yeah. And so you're a submarine shooting up, and aliens are coming to get you.
That sounds a lot like Polaris.
And you can, I think the water level changes. Like the, you get more points when they're in your water than when they're not, I think. Or vice versa, and then the water level changes. So you get more points at the beginning of the screen and less points at the end. But you wait for them to come down into your water. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, wait for them to come into the water and then shoot them. But then your water level's so low towards the end that when they're in your water, you don't have much time. And, God, you're really putting it out there on the line if you're going to play that game. But the rewards are amazing. There you go. Everybody wants one now.
You're just pumping up sales for your dupe.
That's right.
Sell the second one.
You know I'm not keeping them both. So what? So that was our haul. I got those, and then Kenny J got a bunch of bullshit. Whatever.
He
likes to collect garbage.
I'm just kidding. He got a Dynamo Cab. He got a Ninja Turtles converted to Simpsons. Yeah, Ms. Pac.
Ms. Pac, man. Yeah, yeah.
Ms. Pac. Sorry.
He got all sorts of stuff. He couldn't come. I lost him in the dumpster for like 2 hours. I'm like, where the hell is that guy? We got to load these freaking games up. And he's like gone. And I'm like, he's not even in the warehouse. And I look out back. He's crawling around in the dumpster, all the shit that they already threw away. Yep. I'm like, dude, we're supposed to be helping them clear out the warehouse. They already took care of that stuff. I mean, come on, let's go. And then he kept looking around. And my trailer's loaded down to where the tire is like a half inch from the deck. I'm like, we cannot load more games on this. We're going to explode on the way home already.
I told you to take a box truck. That was a pro move there.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing those back. I appreciate it. I was out of the state at that time. Otherwise, I would have been down there with you.
Nice. Yeah, it was a good time. I kind of wanted to go back. I don't know why. I saw everything there. I was there for hours, but the 2 days later, I'm like, yeah, I wish I was at the warehouse.
Yeah, that's good shit.
I love garbage.
Garbage is fucking awesome, man.
Garbage.
I love it.
Yeah. So we played a game tonight, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Tell us about it, Brian.
We played the game called Qbert because
it was one.
Spoiler alert. I took a bit of a tumble and I broke my hand about a month ago. Still healing up. So the one caveat to the game we played tonight was it needed to be a one-handed game. And so
not that kind of one-handed
game. No, not that kind of one-handed game.
We don't play that game here.
We could have played this game remotely. Why did we come here tonight?
So we played Qbert.
Yeah, turn on the webcam.
And it was fun.
You guys like Qbert?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, we usually do scores first, though, don't we?
Yeah, what are the scores?
I got them right here. I ate shit on this game with 2,625 points. Brandon got number 3 with 5,925 points. Jordan in spot number 2 with 11,930. And Brian, top dog, with 12,525.
Yeah.
Damn.
Top Q.
You broke your hand on purpose so you can win this game.
these were all cold games, I could say. Nobody's played Qbert for years. And here we go. We jumped on Qbert.
What year did this game come out?
82.
Yeah, Qbert came out in 82. Warren Davies got hired on it. Gottlieb.
Warren Davis.
Davis.
Davies.
Davies? Davis.
Davis.
He got hired on in like December of 81, I think, and then started working on it the following year after one game that he was working on got tanked or whatever, and it was time to work on his own game. I'm into that kind of history stuff.
Yeah, I didn't realize Qbert was 82. I thought it was earlier. It feels more classic than a lot of 82 games.
It gets looped into a lot of other character games like Donkey Kong and Pac-Man. It's like right there. And Frogger. You know? Even though Frogger isn't really a character, you kind of...
Sure, yes.
Well, he is on the fucking marquee. Not in the game, maybe.
He just doesn't have a catchy name. He's Frogger.
Frogger.
I guess that's catchy enough. Okay, well, those are character games. Yeah. And you could tell Midway was trying hard to come up with their own characters, too. And Taito, but we've talked about this before. But character games seem to do well, and they've stood the test of time. Those are the games that people remember, right? They remember
the Major Havoc. Who doesn't remember that?
Yeah. Lovable guy.
You motherfucker.
Works an 8-to-5 job.
The Red Baron.
The Red Baron. Right, looking around.
Spike and Mike from Double Millipede. Dragon. The fucking archer from Millipede and the red tights.
Yeah, the yellow car from Race Drive.
Everybody wanted to be him. They fucking dyed their hair yellow and put on red tights.
The paddle. Tight belt. I'm sorry. Hey, see, that there's the first appearance of Ball within Pong. Except, Ball. Ironically, he was a cube.
Ice cold beer ball.
Yeah, anyways, a lot of the games by 82... okay, so let me cop to, I don't actually like Hubert that much.
Good for you.
I don't like it that much. It's fine, but I don't love it.
You don't own one.
I don't own one. But they didn't make a mini, which is... So it's neither here nor there.
It's not very big.
It's big.
It's kind of mini.
It's not a mini. It's
smaller than Donkey Kong.
It's got a real monitor in it.
It's a low bar. Low bar. Anyways, I just feel like a lot of games were pushing the tech a lot around 82, and it just doesn't.
Like what?
If you compare, I'll just say there's one of the things that I've noticed is that a lot of the earlier games, because of lack of processing power, are very much like, here's a character on a predominantly black background. And then as the processing power was increasing, you saw like more colorful backgrounds, scrolling backgrounds. Dig Dug is a good example of that.
Fuck that game.
Yeah, but technologically, it was very advanced.
Yeah.
Aww. And this is not that. And I think it kind of reminds me of like the first release on a console system. It's like the Super Mario Brothers. And then if you look at games like Crawl or Mad Planets, they're like the Mario 3, where they really could understand how to use the hardware enough to make a game that like looked a little better.
Yeah. I think that's a designer's choice, though, because it does do some fancy little things here and there. You know, like even the like the score is always like has little animation going through it the whole time, just little stuff like that. And the transition screens and all that stuff, the bonus level animation.
I mean, Pac-Man does it better than that because it's not animated. Well, I mean, I guess it's a little animated, but I think it's not new, right? It's not.
I think they actually.
Xevious was the same year.
If you told
which somebody, I don't think is a good game, but technologically, it's got a lot more going on.
It looks graphically, it looks way crazier. Gottlieb always had the sounds, though, man. I mean, Gottlieb sounds are great.
Nope.
Well, in Qbert, the sounds aren't awesome, but the voice.
The voice is good.
Using the Votrax is really good.
But, like, I'll take the Krull sounds over Qbert any day.
Well, and React.
I mean, damn. But that's what I mean. It's like, it's okay. But the later games, they really made use of the hardware a lot better.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
I just don't think they really even wanted it to be more than it was, though, was the thing.
Well,
because there's some parts of it, like I said, that are animated good and look good.
Well, they basically
then
did
again,
it.
Then again, that platform kind of sucks anyways.
They basically built it around the cube playfield. So that's what one thing that Warren Davis has talked about is that he made that playfield and was just like, oh, here's this cool design we made. And then I think Jordan was saying that they first had a ball and it kind of randomly bounced down the maze. And they kind of just went from there and built it out as they were tinkering with that playfield.
Yeah, I think it's fresh in my mind because I was watching an interview with him today on my way home from work. No, I don't watch YouTube videos in the car. But anyhow, so he was talking about one of the other designers. So this was Warren Davis' first game at Gottlieb. He's like a brand new programmer. And he saw on somebody's desktop this design, this M.C. Escher-esque pyramid, you know, where it looks 3D one way and the other way and kind of fucks with your head a little bit or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he looked at that and he thought about the pyramid and he thought, okay, when you go from one step down to the next, you can either go one way or the other. So it's like binary, like 0 or 1. It's like that's perfect for like programming. And then from the next one, you can go two different ways, you know, two different ways. And so it's like, let's just take that and then we'll have a ball that like bounces down.
The ball.
And it goes one way or the other. And then, you know, we'll figure out some random thing. And that's kind of where it all came from. And if you look in the game, there's still a ball. And that was the ball, the red ball that was like the original concept. This ball just bouncing down this pyramid of cubes.
3 months later, they came up with the green ball.
And in Gottlieb's defense, I suppose, they came to the video game party late. I mean, it's 82, and they're like...
It had already crashed.
Yeah, yeah. They're putting out their first games. You know? They were there late. They started up from scratch. They're hiring dudes out of an ad in the newspaper. Their games aren't going to be the most technologically... impressive games, especially when you compare them to a Namco release like Xevious. Yeah,
that's still like a horrible game to compare against.
I hate the game.
Just pulling it out.
No, I'm not saying the quality. Yeah. It's everything. It's
but nice. Namco have been at it for a long time, and you know they're Japanese, so they're smart. So,
I mean, they've been at it for a couple of years. It's not like it's a company that was starting up from nothing. I mean, Gottlieb had been around for ages. It's not like they didn't know how to design a fucking PCB, you know?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. But pinball.
Yeah,
yeah,
but
they're a pinball company.
Well, video games are way different than pinball.
Yeah.
They're not that different.
You have to have a vision. Pinball's just balls bouncing off of shit. Anybody can design a pinball.
Again, you're talking about the gameplay, which is one thing, whereas I think that the straight up use of the hardware facilities they had is lacking compared to later games that use the same hardware. And as far as the hardware goes and using it, you got to do the same stuff with pinballs anyway.
Yeah. But you can talk about all those other games they released after that may have been a little bit better graphically, but none of them ever did even close to Qbert, except for maybe like the Laserdisc games because.
Oh God, stop. Can we get back to Gottlieb?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, that was Milestar, right? So,
yeah, Milestar. Yeah. Actually, that was Warren Davis' next game.
Yeah.
Davis.
But Qbert had everything, man. They had marketing. They're in cartoons, books.
Which Gottlieb had nothing to do with.
Yeah.
It was because doesn't matter. Columbia Studios like ended up with that. And I think Sony actually owns Qbert now. That's why you see it in like Wreck-It Ralph. And
Columbia is
and
Sony.
Such. Yeah, Sony bought Columbia. Yeah. And it was owned by Coke at one point and blah, blah, blah.
And Gottlieb was owned by Paramount at one point as well.
There you
the
go.
Pinball.
Paramount. Yeah. Yep, yep. And that's probably why you got Mellow Yellow, because Mellow Yellow is a Coke product. There was a Mellow Yellow version of Qbert and 7-Eleven version.
It's just a splash screen, though.
Yeah, that's true. The game
and the intermission
is no different.
Intermission.
There? Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. Slurpee.
God damn it. There was something that was on about, but go ahead.
I don't know. I was just saying that Qbert is they actually hit a pretty big hit with that.
Oh, you know who the guru was at Gottlieb Video Game Department?
Jeff Lee.
Don't we?
No, hit me.
Tim Skelly.
Mm.
He was the man. So he was working on Reactor at like this pretty much the same time. Reactor came out in 82. But, I mean, his, you know.
Rejected.
So his deal was from Cinematronics. He did all the cool Cinematronics games.
Yeah.
He did like Armor Attack and Rip Off. And so blah, blah, blah. Tim Skelly was there. He was the guru.
Yeah, but so, Reactor didn't do shit either. So.
Yeah, but it was an awesome game. It is an awesome game.
All their games bombed besides
did,
Qbert.
Is that Aztrak? Was that his game? No, who am I thinking of? Who did?
Oh, God. What's his name? That's Cinematronics, though, anyways.
It is a Cinematronics game, so he would have been gone by then because he was already at Gottlieb.
All right.
I don't know.
All right. We don't gotta Google it. It's fine.
I like it, though. It's one of the few games where... Oh, man, because I have the J-Rock, or not the J-Rock, I don't have the J-Rock, I have the Mike Doyle, is it 8-in-1? It has Qbert, Cubes, Mellow Yellow, 7-Eleven, and a couple of the other games that don't really work. But Cubes, I actually really enjoy.
I was looking on the Clav page for all the video games they released, just to like see where
Gottlieb?
This...
Yeah.
To see where this fit in. Apparently they made one where it's like Qbert, but he can shoot snot out of his nose.
Is that Tiles?
No, it had some, like, it was like snots and boogies.
Oh.
Said it was a prototype. Is that on there? Can you shoot snot out of his external vagina?
No. Maybe in the bonus room.
Squeak.
Jordan's playing Hubert right now. Tim's Tim Stryker.
Ah, oh, see.
That's a cool name, man.
Yeah.
Were you playing Hubert up there?
This is going to be fun to edit.
Yeah.
I thought you said we were supposed to make it easy on Brian.
Yeah, this
is all going in. Do you have the J-Rock version or do you have the Mike Doyle kit in there?
Mike Doyle kit, yeah.
Okay.
No.
So you have the same one?
No FPGA. No, it's real hardware.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't like not own one, but I haven't pursued one. Yeah.
I do have one of those FPGA boards for in like arm's length. I could grab it, but
do you?
It's not in anything.
The Gottlieb one?
Yeah. Yeah, Milestar, whatever. It's for when I make my fake reactor.
Yeah, I really like on Qbert, which is not hooked up in Jordan's machine, is the knocker at the bottom of the cabinet for when you fall down. That's it's one gone. Of the, I think that's one of the coolest.
I agree. That is
extras
very cool.
For this game is that, you know, something that you definitely don't expect when you're playing it, to hear the little knock on the bottom of the cabinet when you fall off the grid.
I'm still. I know when you use the switcher kit, it removes that. I think it's like 30 volts or 24 volts on the linear power supply that powers that knocker. And when you switch the switcher kit, it's like a dead thud. It's like the
terrible.
It's like the knocker's just like falling out of the cylinder and just hitting the bottom. Like it's just But hey, it's better than not having one.
So was it that the game? It was called Qbert, but the original marquee just had the swear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the proto marquee deal. Yeah.
The nonsense on there, but they had to change it because nobody knew what to call it.
Yep. They thought they couldn't really associate it with, like, that game's awesome.
That game? Question mark, pound sign, so. Well, it's exclamation
got the,
point.
It's got the name on underneath the control panel.
It's true.
So
they could have gone with the swearing marquee. It's okay. It says the name of the game under the control panel. Yeah, I agree.
But what if... I wonder if it had that, though, when they were doing the playtest.
Oh, if they just wanted to be swearing underneath, too.
It's weird that it says Qbert on it twice.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Qbert? Isn't it...
Qbert.
Isn't it the... isn't the story that they got so frustrated trying to make the Votrax chip, the SD01, make actual speech that they just programmed it to do random... mouth noises?
No.
That's what I heard. Like,
that's what I read today on one of the sites. Yeah, they were trying to program it to say bonus points, and all they got was bogus points or something like that. And he's like, screw it, just put some random stuff in here and see what happens. And it came out to be kind of cool.
Everybody used to swear that it would swear at you, basically.
Which it can.
It can. It can totally swear at you. Yeah, don't know.
I think I shared it a while ago, but there's a circuit that you could build that you could just type into that chip and just have it spit out whatever you want. So if they had that back then, oh man.
Yeah, it was used in a fair number of speech synthesis systems in the early 80s, not just in arcade games. I mean, that's the same chip as in Dwarf and Wizard of War.
Mm-hmm.
Speak and Spell?
No,
Speak and Spell is a TMS.
Right. Yeah. What year was Wizard of War?
80.
They should have hired Nutting Associates to help them do some Qbert sound. You think by 2 years later they would have had it documented to do that? That's kind of weird that they got frustrated.
Yeah.
Why?
Because you don't talk to the competition.
That's true. Right.
Yeah. More fun.
Don't tell them how to voice Qbert.
I'm glad they did what
they
did.
You're going to have to use a swearing marquee.
It's kind of more iconic that he just speaks gibberish.
Yeah, definitely.
It's unique for sure.
I mean, they do make it say some things. It does say hello I'm turned on when you turn it on.
That's true.
And
it
so
says,
do I.
And it says bye-bye.
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 When they were developing it, they also needed a character. They went to Warren went to the art department, and that character was drawn up for something. And he's like, oh, yeah, how about that guy? And so, and like, I don't think it was really thought out. It was just like,
there's a roll.
Kind of
there's a Rolodex of used characters. Oh, ball. Okay, grab him. Qbert, grab him.
Krull. We're not going to use him.
Colwyn won.
Get that fucker. We'll save him for later. No, the idea was he had this long nose and he was going to maybe shoot things out of his nose, like boogers.
That's what I was saying. I was looking on Club and they have a prototype, when they list a prototype where he shoots snot out of his...
So he's supposed to shoot shit out of his thing. And they thought about it. And it would just be a nightmare.
Cloaca.
You know, it would be like shooting diagonal on this pyramid. It's like, yeah, good luck with that. So let's just... let's just have them bounce around instead.
You'd have to have another joystick for the nose gun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, how you get
just
yeah.
like Robotron. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or I mean, Krull.
You could try to berserk it, but yeah, good luck with that.
That's what berserk they call it nowadays.
What are you doing? Berserking off. Pretty soon I'm going to be in a frenzy here.
Yeah.
So we made it to the game of the episode. Good job, guys.
Yeah. Good game.
Good game. I was trying to be cocky. I was like, I'll go last. I'll beat all you guys. But then I.
You always do that. Whenever you get cocky, you just scream.
I lose. Yeah. I forgot how to play. I do remember that you want to make Coily fall off. You want to lure him to the edge and then jump onto the disc.
Do you really, though? Because...
Yeah, because then it...
Because you get a bonus, right?
Yeah, you get a bonus and it clears the level of all the enemies.
What?
What? I thought, you own this game, Brandon. You don't know this?
I thought you got more points if you don't use the discs. If you clear the level without using the discs.
You get a little bonus at the end.
I think you get more.
But it's a lot easier to lure him off and then get a clear screen to go fuck around on.
Yeah, I guess if it's later levels, you would want, or the early levels, you'd want to try not to use them.
But, I think you're right. Yes, yeah. You want your bonus disc. If we had Bill Carlton here, he could tell us all about it. That guy can play Qbert for hours.
I did not know about the bonus discs.
What do you mean?
Like that you were not supposed to use them. I thought you were supposed to use them.
I mean, you can.
As many as all that you can, because it gives you more points.
Yeah, I think you get maybe 200 points or something per disc at the end of the level. I don't know. I try not to use them. I use them as like a safety net, you know. So
I like the extra point noise. That's a good sound.
The extra life?
The extra life. Yeah, sorry. Not extra point. Cut that out.
Extra point.
I like the extra life sound. It is really good.
What does it sound like?
Yeah. It's one of those games that that's really, really popular, but not a lot of people have it, at least around here.
It's a B-tier title.
No, it's not.
No, it's A-tier.
Oh, come on.
It's not. It's not an A-tier.
So yeah, it is. A. It just so isn't. A from the classic era. Yep. Oh, my God. The price has been high on that thing forever.
That doesn't matter. The price is high on fucking Donkey Kong. That game sucks. It's not a beer. Beer tier.
I agree. It's not a beer.
It's not a beer.
Beer Bert.
So, coins up.
Oh, yeah.
Coins up.
Yeah, coins. Does Ian give it a coins up?
I do give it a coins
yes.
up.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't love it, but I don't hate it either. It's fine.
It's the black and white rating system.
There's so many worse games out there.
That's
especially in 82. Like Xevious.
I don't like hating on games. I was going to pit games against each other.
Uh-uh.
I'm looking at Millipede. That's like an 82 game. What's better, Millipede or Qbert?
I like Millipede better.
I really like Millipede. I actually like it better than Centipede. So, but
I think I'd rather play Qbert.
I'd rather play Qbert too. There's too many.
Disatron versus Qbert.
Qbert.
Mm. Qbert.
Disatron is not very good.
Disatron.
I don't know. I like Disatron.
Yeah.
It's good, but it's not. It's not a fucking Qbert dope. Good. It's just because you paid a lot of money for it.
I didn't pay a lot of money. Yeah. What do I pay a lot of money for? Nothing.
Mm.
Well, Pong. Maybe I have paid some money for some.
You have.
But anyhow, but no, I didn't pay it.
You've had that for a long time. You've had it before prices were completely bananas.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
What else? What else are you going to pit against, Qbert?
I don't want to turn my head.
Pit Gravatar?
Pit Fighter.
Pit Fighter. Jesus. Karate Champ.
I don't know a Pit Fighter, for the record.
I really like Gravatar, but it's not better than Qbert. So. But it's really
you're
good. It's really
very
good.
Wrong.
It's
Tapping, really good. I think Gravatar is definitely better than Qbert.
Yeah. Tapper versus Qbert.
Tapper.
Mm.
The thing with Tapper is that, yeah.
I don't know. I'm done. I don't like dissing any classic game.
We're not dissing. We're expressing preferences.
You said diss. It's not dissing.
What else have we been doing? You know, was there a Qbert at Portland Retro Gaming Expo?
Nope.
I'm trying to think.
Nope.
No. I mean, it was
No, there was. It was all fucked up.
Really? Was there one?
No.
Nah,
that was the year before last.
I don't think there were any Gottlieb games there. Come to think of it, maybe some pinballs, but
not pinballs.
Video games. But it was a good showing this year.
Yeah?
Yeah, I liked it. Did you guys like it?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
it was good.
We had a good time.
Is this your segue into PRG?
No, we're already there. This is your chance to talk
PRGE
about.
Or Qbert?
PRGE. Mm. Portland Retro Gaming Expo.
It was good. I appreciated y'all recapping that chassis on site and getting that going.
Oh,
we need more of that.
That was for my Warlords.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, my Warlords that I got out of a barn. The second Warlords.
Are we segueing?
No, we're still talking about Portland Retro Gaming Expo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But this is part of it, and that will segue into the next part.
That's part of it. But, yeah, yeah. So that was fun. Yeah, I luckily, I mean, we knew that they're always really good about, like, having spare parts for arcade games on hand. So it kind of is some motivation to bring your game there because...
to use their capkins.
Because you can work on it there. No, totally. I'm like, that's fun. I like
working
on games.
You were working on the monitor, and Ian was working on a centipede board. Is that right?
Missile command board.
Missile command board.
the whole duration of the show.
I remember the Seattle guys were always doing that. They always had a big repair thing. I thought that was cool. I'm like, yeah, these guys are really showing people what it's like to own arcade games.
Not fixing anything and then...
fixing them fucking constantly.
Jeremy had a head-on that he was messing with?
That thing was fucked.
Gremlin head-on. That reminded me of my old Gremlin blockade that I used to have. Same kind of cabinet. I like those classic.
If you roll some head-on.
It's real similar to the Frogger
cabinet.
Yep.
And Astro Blaster.
Yeah.
Yep. The Sega Gremlin's cab.
Where did Sega go wrong? Why did they fucking go away from that cabinet?
They sold Gremlin.
I like that blog that talks all about Gremlin and Sega. Is it all in for a quarter? Or it's our
the Golden Age arcade historian.
There you go. That's
all
my
in color for a quarter.
Blog.
Blogspot.com. It's a real good one.
All in Gremlin for a Sega. .org.
They have a great history of Gremlin and Sega, and if you haven't read it, you really should. It's some of the best arcade knowledge out there on the internet that I've found.
It's good stuff.
I went to the library and printed it all.
Jeez. Microfish.
And then I three-hole punched it into the binder.
That's what I do.
You guys can come over and read it if you want.
Yeah, PRG was pretty good. Pretty good showing this year. It was good to, several of us volunteer to set up the arcade, keep everything running for that show. That was pretty good this year. I felt like most stuff didn't break too bad. Devastators was the big exception to that. We were this came from a comic shop and we were out there just leveling it. And so I just shook it to see if it was leveled and it immediately flipped off and started smelling like burning.
Oh no.
It was
devastating.
Come on. Were they devastated?
The game was devastated.
I don't think it was
missing the back door and had like it was some shitty conversion and there was like a front panel that was completely missing and they covered it over with like gaffer's tape. It was just a fucked up looking cabinet, but everyone was saying, oh, it works great. And then I moved it an inch and it went tits up.
Wow. Are these guys looking for any more games?
I mean, they are now.
I'm pretty sure I could dig
Do you have a track and field upright for them?
I'm thinking I could probably dig some stuff up that I've thrown away in the backyard and tape it back together.
Go pull it back out the dumpster.
Yeah. I got to mess around with a Moon Patrol cocktail, which I'd never messed with a Williams cocktail before. It was pretty cool. Yeah. Figuring out where the power switch was, figuring out how to get to the boards and set the free play on the dip switches. But that game came out of like a smoker's.
Oh, God, that was smoke shop. Fucking nasty, man.
Ugh, I fucking hate that when you get a game that just reeks of cig smoke.
That would be every Mega Touch ever.
No, mine's pretty good. Must have been menthols or something. Mine or something. I don't know what it was. It
smells like mint.
You were in the menthol part of town.
Yeah. Wow, it smells mint.
Yeah. This game's fucking mint, man.
It's minty.
Yeah, it's cool with a K. Fucker.
We had that, and we had the Joust pinball.
Oh,
yeah.
No, I was just going to say.
Such a great pin.
Oh, so cool to play that.
I was just going to say, right next to the smokers thing was your Warlords and Joust and the thing.
The Warlords.
We had a nice little cocktail section there.
Yeah. And that was so fun.
Williams
I love that
cocktail.
Game.
I mean, Williams, I dig what they did with their cocktails. I mean,
yeah,
me too.
They really like to have one.
It's furniture grade.
Pretty much all of them. Yeah, they just said, nah, fuck it. We're doing our own thing. We're going to make sure that something lights up on this fucker. And yeah, it's good. So if you look, there's always like, I like to call them a marquee, even though it's a cocktail. There's always something that lights up with art behind it or with art in front of it, you know. It's
on the CPU usually.
I
don't think Moon Patrol had it unless it was burnt out.
It's because it's a fake Williams.
No, it was by where you put the coins in. I think on Moon Patrol. I think there's a panel there, and then Robotron has a cool.
Yeah, Robotron is awesome
on the control panel. Yep, I like. I mean, I don't like that they're big and whatever, and trying to like, you know, make them fit in your arcade, but I like that they just did their own thing, and it's like high quality. And the Joust pinball, oh my God, it's got like a up and down Wico door, you know, like you'd find on a Gottlieb, except it has a raised letter Williams door. Oh, that's so fucking sweet.
And has like the plexi on each, like little plexi marquees on each side, like so right where your dick's at. And then, oh man, it's awesome. And the playfield has like the bent, it's like bent wood. Or I guess it's not bent, it's like, but two, it's cut or whatever.
It's two playfields that like kind
of TP'd.
Yeah, there you go. TP'd.
Yep.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, I want really it. Fun game. It's rare.
It'd be pretty cool to have like all the Williams cocktails kind of lined up.
No, it wouldn't.
You'd have a lot. Yeah,
I think one at most. they are cool.
I'd rather have one Sinistar cockpit.
Oh, cockpit.
That would be sweet. Yeah. I think the Williams cocktails, the Joust one is the one that I would most want. I think that's the coolest one.
It's kind of different, you know, side by each. Yeah, cockpit.
I think they should have made it. Joust cocktail. You sit on the other side and you just fucking, you're screwed.
You have to be upside down. Just, sorry.
Yeah.
Do it Wizard of War.
You're the reverse gravity.
Do it Wizard of War style where it's sideways for both players.
Yeah, that's right. They didn't care. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you're both fucking
screwed. Yeah.
Fuck you. Buy our game.
Fuck you. It fits.
You want it. It talks.
Yeah. What is the highlight? Yeah, the highlight game of the show for you. Mine is definitely the Joust, because as soon as I saw that, I was like, I'm playing it.
Joust pinball. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep.
I don't know. I played it when it was there a couple years ago.
It's actually used to live at the bar like 20 blocks away from here, so it shouldn't be that exciting for me, but that's where that machine was literally like
Quarter World?
A mile and a half away. No, it was at the Scoreboard.
It's owned by Quarter World, though. They just operated.
It was operated at the Scoreboard. It was like, literally like, a mile and a half away. I could have played it anytime.
Well, that's the first time I saw it there, and that was awesome.
Yeah, it is an awesome game, and you don't get a chance to play one too often.
Yeah, I mean, I should get excited about like different pinballs and stuff, but I suppose there still aren't any new pinballs that are really like tickling my whatever needs to be tickled. I don't know.
What does need to be
tickled? Well, what is it?
Nothing is it? I can think of, obviously.
I'll just say, Total Nuclear Annihilation.
TNA,
it's a good one.
It's very good. It's the best new pinball I've played in a long time.
I like Iron Maiden a lot. For new pinballs, I do like Iron Maiden.
It's fine. It's not
good. Oh, yeah, we played, me and Ian played Deadpool. That game sucks.
I played just about everything, and there were a lot of good pinballs there, and I want to get excited, but, man, I don't.
The Houdini pin's kind of cool.
Yes,
I didn't get to play I was bummed.
I played that in another place, and I do like that one. I don't think
Christini.
I don't know that I was very good at it, but I think the theme's really good for that one.
Yeah, and it's pretty fancy too. It reminds me kind of like a Jersey Jack, where they're throwing all the bells and whistles in it. Actually, right now, I think all the Jersey Jacks are pretty freaking fun to play.
I don't like any of them.
Really?
Nope.
Really? What is it? The gameplay, or
I think they need to get they're slow.
I think they should stop making wide bodies.
I think Hobbit is just not that fun. And same for Wizard of Oz. I'm sorry, I don't have anything better, but I just don't think they're that fun.
No, I think we're different as far as the pinballs that we like. I think I like easy games, as everybody knows, and wide bodies are slow, and I like to catch the ball and make a shot. Yeah. Well, I know a lot of people like flow, and you're probably more of a flow, let's get this thing moving type of person.
It depends. I'm not like stuck on it, but I like games that play fast, and you need a good mix of, you know, being able to just, you know, pop off shot after shot, but then you need a little bit of interruption. Like in Medieval Madness, you know, you can go cross and then you hit the moat or the castle or whatever, and there's like there's an interruption there. So I think it's important to have a little mixing up. I think Dialed In is a little bit more like that, but
that is my favorite. Like, Jersey Jack is Dialed In.
It's the most fun to play, but the theme is the worst.
The theme is awful.
It's
but
terrible.
I still love that game. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't love it. I would love it if it had a better theme.
It's their best game, but
low bar.
Yeah, I don't like Wizard of Oz. It's stupid. So
both Woz and Hobbit are so fucking slow. They're just too slow. I don't like them.
But all the cool stuff they have.
No. But the game is not fun because it's too slow. Because it feels like an EM where you wait fucking 10 seconds for the ball to roll down the playfield. I do not like it. Give me a game that has some fucking snap.
Interesting. I mean, as much as I say I like a slow game, I do like it when I hit a shot time after time after time and get it going. Like, oh my God, I hit four loops in a row. Yeah. But I'm just not that good, and so that doesn't usually happen. So I'm better at a game where you catch the ball and you shoot a shot. You catch the ball and you shoot a shot. So
I'm with you on easy games, but I don't think that slow and easy are the same thing.
Nope. Not the
same
thing.
So like Monster Bash, I think is really easy, but way fun. Yeah. And has good flow.
I will agree with you there.
And, you know, it's not a game where you're just, you know, dying because the fucking ball doesn't roll fast enough.
So why aren't we all buying Monster Bashes? They're only like $7,000 brand new, right?
Because I'd rather have that cannibalize the price of the old ones and get one of those. You know? I don't trust the new shit. I don't want one.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I could get one for $5, I would buy a remake for $5. That's my price.
You'd buy a remake for $5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At that point, $5.
At that point, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does matter to me. I wouldn't buy it for $5.
So that's a little bit of a...
You don't have $5.
So
I know.
I was
but I don't care. No.
I was considering buying a pinball, one that was actually at PRGE. It would have been at Adam's Family. And so I don't know if anybody knows, but I only have two pinballs. I have a Star Trek Next Generation, a World Cup Soccer 94. And
are you telling the seller that you're not buying it on this podcast?
No, no.
Is the announcement?
No.
Hey, sorry to get back to you, but we just need to publish the...
No, he knows, but...
Playfield is all scratched up.
But anyhow, yeah, I just...
How about four?
Carfax, please.
I mean, I love...
Carfax on that.
I do like Adam's Family. It is one of the greater pinball tables of all time. I don't know. I'm at the point where I look at the work, like just to move it down into my game room, and then probably I'll want to move one of mine out. I'll want to probably sell Star Trek Next Generation because yes. I had it the longest, and that's a flow game, and I don't play it like flow. I catch the ball and I shoot it and whatever. But, anyhow, I was just like, I was thinking about that, and I've been spending lots of money, and it's probably not a good idea to spend a whole bunch more money. Well, and I don't know.
Just, YOLO, man.
There's Playfieldware, and it's not my favorite game, and if I'm going to drop thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, I should probably get like one of my ultimate favorite games. And, you know, I might even, I like it better than Star Trek The Next Generation, but it's not my favorite game. You know, I would take... Tales of the Arabian Nights, you know, that's my big game right there.
And I like that one.
Medieval Madness, and you know, there's, you know, and probably Monster Bash I like better. You know, so if I can name three games that I like better, I probably shouldn't just like dump a bunch of the money that I don't have a lot of money, so we probably shouldn't just squander it on that game. So I don't know.
Monster Bash is definitely like a whole different tier. I don't like Adam's Family.
You're not into it at all.
Nope.
It has some cool stuff. How about the flipper that flips itself? That's fucking cool.
Thing.
That's Monster Bash.
No, that's Thing. That's the Thing flipper. It shoots its own freaking shot, man.
Yep.
I don't have any pinballs that shoot their own shot.
Monster Bash does that. I don't have one.
Does it really?
It's Phantom Flip. It sucks.
I didn't know that.
You know, it always like flips it somewhere and then it drains instantly.
Brandon, help me out. Does Monster Bash shoot its own shot?
Yeah, but I heard it doesn't work.
Wow. But the Thing works. The Thing flip works.
Yeah, the Thing flip. It's better than you.
It learns
after it misses, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
And I take Twilight Zone, too.
I also don't like
you
that.
Get the power.
The power.
And it's actually, I hate that. That's the thing more than anything else on both those games, the thing that drives me up the fucking wall is that you can't make any shots because the under playfield magnets are fucking your shit up all the time.
Where?
On Adam's Family in Multiball. Fucking.
You can just time it out, man.
I hate it.
Unplug the magnets.
Yeah.
They do that in a different game. They do that in tournaments now. They unplug the magnets in Adam's Family.
Brandon, you had Adam's Family or Twilight Zone?
Twilight Zone.
Twilight Zone, that's right. Yeah. That was long ago.
It's fucking awesome.
You're like, I want to get a dope-ass pinball. I'm like, get Twilight Zone. It's the best one.
Yeah. Good show. Good pinball.
It is. It's really good.
The show is better than the pinball.
Mm.
And
I'd even take the 80s Twilight Zone.
And it's
the 80s Twilight Zone's awesome.
And it's got that golden earring song. Do, 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 do,
do. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Are you going to play that now?
What music does Adam's family have? Oh, that shit will drive you nuts, man. You don't want to hear that. Yeah. I don't want to hear
there,
that.
There was a rumor of a Munsters pinball. Mm-hmm. I like the Munsters better than the Adam's.
It's not a rumor. It's confirmed, and it's coming out next year.
I'd be interested to see that.
There was a rumor of a Primus pinball.
Primus. Grimace.
Oh, man. Was that it? That's not it for PRGE, right?
We yeah, let's talk more about PRGE. Yeah. What was some good speakers? There were some old school...
We saw the creator of Kroll. Remember?
That's right.
We talked to him.
We talked to him. We cut line.
What was his name?
Is his name Cole11?
What was his name?
Is it House something?
We didn't research this.
Is it House? Yeah. Is it House something?
He was a super nice guy. He also worked on... what's that? Race driving with airplanes?
Air driving. Air
not,
flying.
Not race driving, airborne. Airborne. Steel Talons.
Oh, Ed Rothberg.
There you go. Yes, Ed Rothberg. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
He did Kroll?
Yes.
He did Battlezone.
That's not race driving with that flying.
Yes, it is. It's flying race driving with three monitors. Yeah, it totally is.
So we were talking to him about the sounds on Kroll, and you were mentioning...
Not Ed Rothberg.
No, the other guy. The Kroll guy, Kroll designer. And you were mentioning how when you run in front of the boulders, it gives you the different sounds so you know that you're getting the extra points.
Oh, yeah.
He said that when they were developing that, there was calling those macho points.
That's right.
Hey, check it out. I'm getting macho points.
Yeah. And so they made, because what was the reason why the score would ramp up while you were close to the boulder?
It's dangerous, man.
Because you're close to it and they would change the sound because you would know without having to look up to your score that you were getting those points.
So they engineered that into the game. They wanted those macho points.
It's the macho points.
And then they decided to change the sound so you knew that you were doing it. Yeah, that's one of the funnest things in Kroll. Or, I don't know. It's a fun thing, definitely.
Yeah.
That's fucking Blueprint. That was Midway trying to get into the cartoons.
The Blueprint guy. Everybody love him.
He makes Blueprints.
They released fucking Pac-Man, dog. They were in the game.
Yeah. You know what was really cool? I was selling some mugs in the booth, and this guy came by with a Steel Talons hat and a jacket, some older dude. And I was like, I think he asked me if I had a certain mug or whatever. And I was like, no, I don't. And then I noticed his jacket had his last name. I was like, oh, shit. It's Ed Rothberg. I was like, are you Ed Rothberg? And he goes, fuck yeah, I am. No, you need to. And I was like, oh shit, Ed Rothberg. And he was like, yeah. And I just said, first I said, that's a cool hat, you know, because I used to play that game and all that shit. And
he said, you want
to
see my Steel Talon?
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm waiting.
Cool story.
Yeah.
Cool story.
He opened up his jacket and he said, hey, do you want to see this Steel Town? Anyways, I asked him about Battlezone.
Do you want to enter my Battlezone and see my super tank?
If you pay 25 cents, you can look through this periscope.
Check out my missile.
Yeah, you know the holes in the side of the battle zone cabinet are just for
mystery solved.
Anyways, I asked him. I've always wondered if he designed battle zone with a periscope in mind, because I asked him, the cabaret doesn't have the periscope, it's the open face and all that.
Great question.
Yeah, and it's been bugging me forever, and you know, you can't just search that online, like, why the fuck did they do the cabaret like that or whatever? And then why did they make the open face kit? And he said that he actually designed it without the periscope in mind, and that it was the big wigs at Atari's idea to add the periscope because they thought it was cool. I don't know.
It is cool.
He lost that battle, and he said he was pretty pissed off about it because he wanted onlookers to be able to see the game when they walked by and all that. It seems like they kind of compromised, though, because they have the side windows. You could still look and see the game. But I've always thought that he did design it with the periscope in mind. So I was really surprised by his response.
I've never driven a tank, but is that what it's like?
Me neither.
When you drive a tank, are you looking through? Isn't that more of a submarine thing?
You have armor around you, so you can't just have a fucking windshield with wipers and shit.
You don't just have a front windshield.
Just have a windshield.
Okay. Yeah, you have like some little viewfinder or a little slot or whatever.
I've never been a fan of the Herp scope.
No. Yeah. Well,
Herp scope's good. Just line three people up.
I mean, why not scope other games? Why not have fucking Periscope on Centipede, you know?
Centiscope.
Dude, I'm into it.
That'd be kind of cool. Yeah.
Just Periscope them all. What the hell?
Fucking Qbert, man. Yeah,
Qbert Periscope.
Fucking see like one-fifth of the play
field. Stick your freaking face up there, you know?
One cube.
Get into it, man.
I don't know. I was surprised by it. Because I think it's better with the Periscope. I really do. I think
that's just because you have to put your face like 3 inches from the screen.
Well, it's not 3 inches from the screen because the monitor is mounted, rotated with a mirror.
Yeah.
But I feel like it is extra immersive and it really draws you into the game in a way that doesn't happen when you're not swapping skin oil with strangers.
Good point. No, it is.
I was reading about Tunnel Hunt the other day, it does suck, but
it does suck. But
in the same way that you really have to get up in there.
It
really draws you into the game. It adds a dimension that I think a lot of other games don't have, and I think it's cool. Whether you intended it or not, I think it's cool.
That was Century, and as far as I know, that's the only Atari reject.
Another
company put out. Yeah. Like Atari licensed it. It
went
country.
To Exidy and then to Century.
And then to Century. Okay. Yeah. So, I'm sure.
It's a rare game. I have the board.
You have a Tunnel Hunt board. There's one at Grinker's you can play. Totally.
Yeah.
Play
it. If you want to fucking die of a seizure. What the
fuck? It's pretty fun. The whole graphic thing is.
You just went down a tunnel? Tunnel?
He went down.
I just fell into the bottom of the Qbert cab.
The vertical
knocker. Yeah. Tunnel. I thought you're doing like a live Tunnel Hunt. The Periscope's cool. I think when you're playing like the Open Face or the Cabaret, you just kind of it just seems
and it's it makes like any it other makes, game
and the wireframe right. It makes the game feel better, I think.
I love wireframe.
When it's in the Periscope.
I'm down with anything wireframe, really. Yeah. I mean, everything just should be wireframe from now on.
Yeah.
Anyway. We don't need proper photos and shit.
Fuck cell shaders.
Just give me a wireframe.
Yeah, but I've never seen any of the Atari panels or anything, and it was actually cool to meet an Atari designer just walking around, and that was one of the major highlights.
Hey, that's fucking ground zero of what we're all about.
Yeah, it was cool. I saw Nolan Bushnell at NWPAS a few years ago. That was also cool.
Yep. Yeah, I've met him and some other dudes.
Alcorn?
Yeah, Alcorn.
Alcorn.
Alcorn, I got big respect for.
Because he signed your game and you got more money for it?
Yeah. No, I didn't get more money for it.
Yeah, you did.
Didn't matter. Actually, Steve,
it's only because it had the right knobs.
It's got the right knobs. Actually, Steve was not too excited about having the signature on the game because he thought if you put it on the floor out at Grinker's, that other people might decide that they need to sign it too. Like it's the graffiti game or something.
He's got like three. It's fine.
He does not. He only has five. Yeah. That was it. That's how you can trade him something if you have something he doesn't have.
Isopropyl alcohol. That shit will come right off.
Oh, shit. I thought that was some vandal. Al Alcorn. That sounds like a phony fucking name to me.
There was a thing about this a few years ago where someone got a Nintendo Game & Watch that had been signed by Shigeru Miyamoto. They just took it off with rubbing alcohol and posted it up on their blog. They're like, oh, yeah, I cleaned this thing up. And people were like, dude, did you not recognize? That wasn't just like some rando writing their name on it.
Oh, man.
Oops.
Property of Bart Simpson.
Yeah. Don't do
that. Designed by Dick Smith.
Why did they say, I will not vandalize pocket consoles 100 times?
But before PRGE, we took a trip to annual trip to Eagle, Idaho, to Grinker's once again.
Talking about Tunnel Hunt?
About Tunnel Hunt. It was there.
Yeah.
And many other games. One that sticks out in my mind that was there was Tail Gunner. I think we all had a...
We were super
stoked. A soft spot for Tail Gunner.
Yeah. I saw it last... The time I was... Oh, when I went and traded the Pong for Warlords. That's when I first saw that he had a tail gunner there, and I was like, holy shit. And that's pretty much all I played that night. And but yeah, so it was in full freaking effect for Grinkfest 2018, Grinkfest 6.
Yeah, that game, I think Tail Gunner 2 is definitely an intersection of games I like. You know, Cinematronics Vector, but made by Exidy.
Tail Gunner 2?
Yeah. If only they made a Tail Gunner 2 cabaret.
I've seen one at California Extreme, and that was it.
Yeah. Not many out there.
Tail Gunner 2 joystick in a Tail Gunner cabinet.
Yeah.
Because the joystick in Tail Gunner 2, which is the cockpit.
I like the joystick in Tail Gunner.
Little pissed shit fucker.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of the old Wico sticks that you could get for the Apple II.
You could flick it with your fucking pinky and shoot fucking battleships.
Yeah.
It's really cool, yeah.
It's got good control on it.
Actually, pretty much every analog joystick game should just use that joystick. Because, I don't know, we were playing Sinistar tonight with the 49 way, and I was kidding around. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's the finite. You know, you can just really get that just right. But you can never just get it just right. I mean, it's
too chaotic.
It's too chaotic. Yeah, you're going all the way, mm-hmm. this way, that way. You know, you're all in. You're fucking full Monty.
So, I mean, not to derail too much, but...
It's hard to derail. It's,
yeah, I know.
It's not. We're talking about a good analog joystick game.
I kind of like categorize games in two different ways. They're either twitchy games or timing games. And, you know, twitchy games, Sinistar is definitely a twitchy game. You know, there's a ton of shit going on. And you got to be really on top of it. Whereas Qbert is all about the timing, right? You make a move and it takes a half second for anything else to happen. And so you got to be looking ahead and hitting timing. Donkey Kong, definitely timing. Centipede, Tempest, twitchy.
You could break that down and just say fast or slow.
But it's not about it being slow or not. It's about the timing of the actions being so critical. So it's just the way I think about it. It was interesting because I came down here and I played Sinistar first, and then we did Qbert.
Very different.
I definitely lean more towards the faster games.
I guess it's a little bit more slop with the faster games.
Slop.
You know,
yeah,
you can make up for a wrong move, but like Qbert, yeah. I don't think you can't make a wrong move when it gets hard. It's just like you have to get the timing just right on the timing game.
That's the wrong move. You said you can't make a wrong
move. Do you agree?
Move.
What do you think?
You can make a wrong move on Qbert.
Yeah, again, wrong way.
But
the thing about the timing type games is that you make the wrong move and then you just sit there and you're like, fuck.
Yeah. You see your death impending.
Exactly.
I tend to gravitate towards the twitch fast engaging games too, because you're impending just plump, you're just stuck right into the action right away, and you're just, it's awesome.
I like it too. I like twitch games. Robotron. There's no right way to play it.
Wrong way.
What an interesting game. The only way to win is not to play.
No, I like to look at my
Robotussin 2084.
No right way to play it.
So did you have a favorite game at Grinkers? Is there one that you played over and over again? You're like, this is the best game.
I think we were all about Tail Gunner.
Tail Gunner was a good one.
I think Tail Gunner was the game of the episode.
I'm trying to look through some of the pictures that I took to remind myself of what games they had there.
I mean,
every game.
There was some cool stuff, but I think Tail Gunner stuck out pretty good in my head.
That's pretty... I mean, it's a very, very simple game, but it's pretty cool.
It's great. It is a little deeper than you think, too. I mean, you do have some time management there.
With the shield.
With the shield, yep.
Yeah, but totally. That's it. Everything, it's the same.
Same thing over same and over stuff, again, yeah. But you got to kill them all. Use that shield.
I really like NATO Defense. That's one I hadn't played before.
Oh, yeah. I think GPI, is a underlooked, overlooked.
Isn't that novelty?
Oh, Pacific Novelty. Sorry, not GPI. Yeah, Pacific Novelty. I still am
game plan, right? GPI.
GPI game plan.
Leprechaun. Like,
Leprechaun, Pot of Gold. Yep. I still...
Pot of NATO.
I still do like Thief a lot.
That one's cool.
I like Thief, but I think the NATO defense is a little deeper and it's got more going on. You can go through the walls. The explosions are more spectacular.
They're similar games.
Yeah, they definitely are similar games.
Very similar.
And they both have the chatter going on in the background.
It has the 8-track, right?
Like, yeah,
the
tape. 8-track, yeah. Four speakers up top, all sorts of channels of audio. Pretty cool. Yeah.
Is that like Thief? Yes. Is it just like a...
Similar, yeah. It's
very similar, but different. I think there's a little more going on. I think Dana Defense is Thief Plus.
Miss Thief. Thief Turbo.
They had a nice flicky cabinet, which I appreciated. Ooh. I never played a flicky cabinet before.
Nice to see that in a dedicated cabinet. I really like that. That is a great game.
I played Three Stooges, and I couldn't really figure it out.
That game sucks.
I didn't like it.
I brought that game there. Or I was in the truck that brought that game.
You were one of the stooges that brought the game.
Yeah.
Electric Yo-Yo is a pretty cool game. Which is another one I've never played.
God,
I've played the game before, but I hadn't played it in the dedicated
cabinet. He's got a lot
of
like rare Taito games. Yeah. Electric Yo-Yo is one of them.
What else we got here?
Space Dungeon. I know there's a Space Dungeon there, which is cool. I mean, it could have been the Robotron, really. It came out first. And it used the
Space Dungeon is cool, yeah.
It used the same control scheme, you know? It used the joystick to fire and the joystick to move.
But one of the games that's that was in the Black and White Challenge that was my favorite to play out of that one was Canyon Bomber.
Oh, I love that game.
That was really good.
Yep.
Anyone out there has got one they want to sell, hit us up. What's the voicemail number again? Jesus.
503-766-2263. That is a great game.
And it is an underrated classic.
I played
the Black and White era.
It was so good.
Yeah, that's when I couldn't get past. I think there was a couple people that got past the screen.
Were you saying that someone was cheating on that game?
There were rumors of people cheating.
There were rumors that people were firing up
a two-player game and just playing one player and then taking the score for themselves.
Fucking pussies.
So that was the rumor.
How could there be a rumor about just?
Well, I didn't see it happen, so it's a rumor.
Hearsay.
Yeah, great game. Definitely, that's one of the few games that's still on my hit list.
Oh, it's so good. Anti-aircraft. There's so many good black and white games. And Skydiver was down this year, but
it's too bad. Yeah, it's got that awesome ring control.
Ripcord.
Yeah. So good. Mm-hmm. I'll take Skydiver over Canyon Bomber.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about that. I would too.
That's high on my list.
I would definitely take that.
Yeah, that might be my favorite black and white game.
Another one they had in the tournament because Bazooka was one of the games that was going to be in it, and that was down, so they never got that fixed. So this other game was called Sidetrack, which was a train game, which is sort of similar to
Exit Head On, right?
Yeah, Head On or Crash.
Yep.
Except you're.
I love those games, man.
You're a train, and then every time you make a revolution around the board,
choo-choo. It goes choo-choo.
I don't remember. I don't know.
I've never played.
You would get another. Car on your train and you get up to like 10.
So it's like Snake.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. That's cool. So that was the way to get like lots of points, but you would have to sit there for like 5 minutes just having your train go around the track because the enemy and then would just stay in the middle. But once you did that, it was like, all right, game on, and you were trying to like get some points and you have to switch the tracks in order to move to the inner circle. And it's when you got your train that big, it's super chaotic and super hard to control, but it's a pretty fun game. But if I was to have my choice between that and Crash or Head On, I would go for Crash or Head On because I like those games a lot.
Yeah, man, but I love those. I love those games.
Sidetrack's beautiful cabinet, though.
It looked really the art. Good. The bezel looked really cool. Never played that, of course, but you know.
But yeah, and Jordan went on to win the GAC Award this year. For, I think, did you pass out on the Gravatar? Is that
I passed out on control? Gravatar. Yep. There was one night we you know, people drink there. And I guess I was one
what?
Of those.
They do what?
I got a few picture of people passed out in various cockpits.
Yeah, I wasn't the only person who passed out in a game.
You were the only person who passed out on an upright.
I was the only person who passed out on
upright.
Yeah, I got to find a vector game. Atari Vector would be my thing where I feel comfortable. And Gravatar would be a good one because there's no joystick to get in the way. You know, it's just a... It's a flat control panel of buttons. A Space Duel would have worked as well, but
yeah, Quantum definitely wouldn't work. You lay your head on the trackball, you roll on the floor, right off.
Rolled right off.
Hey, you want to sober up? Go sleep on fucking Quantum.
Black joystick game works fine. You just gotta sit on the control panel.
Black Widow. No, there's joystick sticking up. I don't want that.
You can hang your fucking coat hook on it and just go.
So I found me a nice comfy Gravatar and kind of leaned up against that and that was
took
that.
A nap.
Yeah. They need to have an award for. Like filling up a cocktail cabinet with alcohol, like flip open the top and just fucking dump alcohol and drink it with a straw.
I believe
we did feel. I saw people passed out in the Missile Command cockpit.
Yep.
In the Distatron.
In Omega Ray's cockpit.
Omega Ray's cockpit. Hours before I ever passed out. I mean, this was like 3 in the morning.
I think you closed the place down. I think maybe some of the Krinker's employees might have to give you a ride home.
They gave me a ride home, and I was so scared. We stay in a house that's literally, what, how many blocks away, Brian?
Like 3 blocks.
You're the sober one. Yeah. 3 Why blocks away.
It? Why didn't Brian?
I walked it a million times.
I was in bed.
Too, but not that night. And so the employee went to take me home, and I was just like petrified. I'm like, I'm not going to find the house. I'm not going to find the house. They all look the same. All these houses look the same. And we did drive right by it. Like, oh no, we've been driving way too long. You got to turn around, go back, and then start over again. And let's see if I can find it. And then I remembered, somehow I remembered a crack in the driveway.
Jesus.
Like our driveway had that big crack. That is the place right there. Let me out.
Yeah. Take me where the crack is.
Hey, you know where I can find the crack?
Exactly.
Well, since you won the GAC award, I've got a special delivery from you from GAC Attack himself that he sent.
What?
For you.
What is that, a fucking karate gi or something?
That you have to open up on the air. I have not opened this yet. It's completely sealed.
Are you serious?
No, it's for you. Look at the return address.
Wow. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, GAC.
Open it up.
You should open it up before you thank him. I mean, it could be just packaging.
It could be a bomb.
Could be full of anthrax.
That's a piece of concrete from the driveway. That's the crack.
Yeah. Oh, it looks like.
This is amazing.
That's phenomenal.
What the
holy shit.
Gak, I will fucking sleep on this.
Ace.
All the time. Look at
this. Just describe what it is, Jordan. Describe what it is.
This is a pillow. And it is a Gravatar control panel. And it's been customized. It says Sweet Dreams at the top. And it has a whole bunch of Ace, because I drank a ton of Ace cider while I was there.
You said John, right?
Yeah, John from Arizona, J-A-W-H-N, who I've known from years from all these arcade shows. He told me about that cider. It's like, you know, not too sugary and pretty good. And I drank a bunch of it, and so did he, and we had a great time.
I like the Cummins cider.
Yeah. Okay. Do we need to start a brewery right now?
Cummins cider.
Yeah. I want to get your motor running.
A cidery. Cummins.
The funny thing is I was just laughing because you said Cummins, but then I just realized.
Oh, then you actually got the joke.
Yeah.
Way better. Than
oh
that.
Man, that's good. Not too sugary.
A little salty.
A little salty, but yeah. You forget Ian's got the big brain. Thank you, Chris. This is amazing. GAC Attack, you're the man.
Yeah.
And I'm actually going to use this because this is a perfect size pillow. I've been like doing this adventure camping in the back of my truck.
Yeah. Why? I'm disappointed I didn't get sent a pillow that just had a print of my current pillow at home since I didn't go.
this is really, really freaking cool. I mean, a big part of going to Grinker's, I mean, the games are great, Steve is great, but you know what else is great? The people who are there. And as you get into hobbies, you realize that it's more than just the things. A lot of times it's the people.
And who else did we see there? We saw Island Pirate.
Of course, yeah.
James,
yeah.
Who became the Tail Gunner world record holder, I believe.
That is true. As much as we talk about Tail Gunner, he really took the fucking the cheese it on that one and became the world record champion. And good for him.
I'll beat him.
Good for him. Yeah, we can beat him. I was getting close, but I decided to get drunk instead.
World record champion. He got the high score on the world record.
On the world record. The high score on the world record. The world.
Undocumented.
Yeah, Brandon, you need to come next year and put up a high score, Tail Gunner.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
You got to do it. We can work on it. The rare games are the best to put high scores on.
Yeah. So
you picked still a good one.
I still got to get a high score on Pirate Treasure.
Oh,
I could do the world record on that one.
of zero?
That's what I want. I want the world record of zero. Because I got the only one.
I always want to do world record on computer space, but my computer space hasn't ran yet.
Yeah, so. We'll fix it.
Christ. It's yours. Give me a good offer. It's all yours.
Really?
What? Yeah. Money talks.
All right.
I don't know. It's the maroon one.
It's not maroon. It's a beautiful red sparkle.
Burgundy.
God, it's nice. And I got three fucking extra TVs that'll go with it.
Oh, God, I love TVs.
Isn't that the only problem with it is the TV and you won't fucking fix it?
The real TVs. TVs.
I know. I know what you mean.
Why don't you just fix it then?
I got other stuff I'm working
on.
Well, he's got to fix his missile command. It's way more important. So, shout out to the Arcade Hangout crew. To Steve for organizing Grinkers. It was awesome. We'll be back next year.
And I'm sorry I didn't get on last night. It's a crazy week.
You got invited? I wasn't invited.
I'm always invited.
Standing I guess I could invitation. Be invited if I wanted to, right?
I don't know. Are you invited?
I don't know.
Is this the Arcade Hangout?
You got to be cool.
I am cool.
I've seen that. You don't have to be cool.
Yeah.
No, we love Arcade Hangout. Thank you so much, Gak. And I want to come on, but it's just, I don't believe how Dave gets on. It's 3 hours earlier, and it's like he's doing it at like 2 in the morning or something. Ridiculous.
Up all night.
Up all night. He's the one that was giving me the, so big shout out to Dave. Thank you.
Woo!
Stop it with the love fest here.
Jesus, use that pillow tonight. Fuck. Speaking of podcasts, I heard the Game Room Junkies are hanging it up.
That's too bad.
And they gave us a shout out. That's pretty cool. I listened to them quite a bit before we even started the podcast. And that kind of gave me some inspiration to start this one. So, yeah. Big shout out to you guys. It sucks that you guys aren't going to be doing it anymore.
Yeah, same. I remember way back when I was first getting into collecting arcade games, I bought something from one of those guys, and they just had a business card in with the package. And I was like, oh, what's this? So I listened to you guys for a whole bunch.
Maybe we should put business cards when we sell arcade parts.
I never sell anything. Get one sticker on the computer space.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Yeah. No, big shout out to Game Room Junkies.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
The more podcasts in the arcade industry, the better, and we're sad to miss them. We're sad to lose you. Fuck. I'm done talking.
Yeah, I don't know why, but there isn't much. They were talking about at the end of their last episode what other podcasts were out when they were starting, and there wasn't really much for arcade stuff. It was mainly, I think it was just pinball stuff. But yeah, now there's quite a bit. Pass the torch.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah, you can listen. All kinds of shit out there now. You can listen to Kaneda's Pinball Podcast if you want. Yeah. If you want, you could.
Was I the one that found that? I don't know.
No.
Like a week ago or something? No.
Brandon saw that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's all it needs to be.
So. I'd never seen it. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Garbage.
We hate this guy.
Yep. that's why he's only on Pinside now. They don't really like him there.
No, he's not on Pinside.
Oh, did he get run off Pinside?
Yeah.
Fuck. Awesome. Good job, guys. Keep it up.
Great. Great form.
Keep the hate alive.
How do we roll? Yeah. How do we get him off iTunes now? I did see he has a voicemail there if you want to leave him a message. I'm sure he'd love to hear from you.
There you go.
Yeah. So we could probably transition into Game Room updates to close it out then.
I think Jordan needs to give us some updates before he's
a few
more vodkas in.
Before that pillow becomes real use. Can you fall asleep on the mixer?
Before he falls asleep on his Gravatar pillow.
If you fall asleep on the mixer, I'll make you a pillow. Of that.
I mean,
he doesn't need a mixer anymore. He's got it. It's already mixed.
Right there. It's mixed.
Yeah.
Honestly, my game room hasn't been updated other than, I don't know, I moved stuff around, but I did that a while back, and I have space. I don't know. What the heck? I just keep getting games, and I probably don't need to. So what did I get? I have a track and field that I'm going to restore right now.
This is your list of stuff.
What about your Warlords cocktail pickup?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I have another Warlords cocktail.
We derailed that story an hour ago.
we talked about that an hour ago. So yeah.
We started.
I guess we didn't get the story, did we?
No.
We just talked about it at PRG.
We hopped three topics around without really finishing any of them.
So, yeah, I guess a Warlords cocktail is worth talking about, evidently. So at PRGE, I took a Warlord's cocktail there, but it wasn't the Warlord's cocktail that I talked about before.
What?
Yeah.
Two Warlord's cocktails?
This is correct.
That game's not fucking right.
Can you link them to play eight players at once?
Yeah, I want
God, that
to.
Would be awesome.
You could. I'm totally going to just have an eight-player Warlord's cocktail down here. I'm just like, I don't want to get rid of either of them.
Like those big-ass Indie 8, the 70s games?
Yes, yeah. Warlord's 8.
Yeah. I'll trade you...
Havoc for Warlord's 8?
No.
Dragon's Lair?
No.
No.
No, I don't want that. Had those.
Hubert. It's a great game. Everyone
yeah.
loves it.
Yeah, I got a Hubert.
Yeah, no.
Even I like it.
Omega Race. I'll trade you Omega Race.
So, I think in our last episode, we were talking about that there was a Warlord's cocktail on a Craigslist in a place.
We were.
In a place like 400 miles away from here. And we were like, oh, fuck, I got to record this podcast. I got to work in the morning. I can't go just drive 800 miles and pick up another Warlord's cocktail, blah, 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 blah. And then the next day I went to work and I was thinking...
You got a 20% off coupon from Postmates and you'll just call them to...
And I randomly was like, you know, chatting or texting with another one of my arcade friends. I'm like, hey, what are you doing? And they're like, I'm going to Grinker's today. I'm like, because Grinker's was like in 2 days or something. And I'm like, why are you going now? He's like, I'm going to Spokane to sell my Circus Voltaire. And I'm like, really? Do you want to pick up a game for me? He's like, oh, hell yeah. I got an empty truck after that. I'm like, okay, one moment, please. And then I called the guy with the Warlord's cocktail and I said, hey, I would like to buy that. And he said, okay. And I said, I will have somebody there tomorrow. Can you, you know, is that okay? I can give you the money now. He's like, oh, no, that's fine. I got all sorts of people emailing me, but you're the first person who's called me. And I'm like, yes, this is
Pro
me.
Tip.
I am calling you. I am a person. And we're talking. And he's like, yeah, you sound cool. Or honest.
Jesus,
or whatever.
Is this really a game deal or what?
Yeah.
Did you end up getting it for free or did you just have to suck his dick?
No, I did. I said, your price is fine. It was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
But like five of them, right?
But not thousands of dollars. And so I'm like, yeah, that's fine. And no, it was like $800 or something. And then I had to pay to get it like $600. What
was
it?
500.
No,
like, that was
six.
What the ad said.
I think it was six.
Pretty sure.
I think it was six. Whatever. Whatever. This is going to be for sale. I got to sell one of these. I can't have two Warlords. So
sure you can.
You fuckers. Actually, this is my idea.
Can I have it?
So no, you can't have it. Yeah. So this is my idea. Well, okay, let me finish the story.
Yeah.
Okay. So finish the story. He said, you know what? I'll just. It'll be here. You know, you got a guy coming over tomorrow. It'll be here for him. And so I never saw it. I don't know. It could be rusted to shit. And it kind of was. And, you know, but it's fine. So he picks it up and I meet him at Grinker's. It probably, you know, it probably spent. Basically, it's like jacked up. Like you don't sit.
It's raised up.
It's raised up, so you can stand and play it, which is kind of fun. I got one that's like sit height, because everybody always has them sit height, because you sit around and bullshit and put your dollars on the table and you do the $4 games or whatever. And then this one's like the standing height, which is kind of nice, because I got it out in my shop and it's cold out there and we're freezing and you just stand up and play it.
Baby, it's cold outside.
That's right.
Play my temp. Standing up Warlords.
Play my stand-up Warlords.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I like that about the Atari cocktails, is that you can raise them up like that.
Either
at least some
way.
The Tempest Space Duel, you can do that. I think it's pretty awesome.
And Millipede. Centipede.
And the neat thing is, it's a small fucking game.
Yeah.
I mean, it will really fit anywhere. It's really cool that way. So I'm like, yeah, pick this up for me. And then when I got to Grinkfest, there it was. There's my new Warlords.
Nice.
And, yeah. I got it home, board had problems. The monitor was good at that time. I swapped my other board in, and I'm like, hey, this is on ground level. Let's take it to PRGE. Let people play Warlords, because I'd never seen a Warlords there. They deserve to play a four-player Warlords cocktail. So took it to PRGE. Monitor started wigging out pretty much immediately. It's a weird Sanyo 14-inch monitor that was only in, and I'm not misspeaking, it is a Sanyo monitor in an Atari game. It seems weird, but yes, it is. Grabbed a cap kit for 20EZ. It was like every single cap was just right for it, even the freaking...
bipolar cap?
Even the bipolar cap. It, I mean, it was like Q31, you know, 1,000.
Yeah, same values.
Yeah, it was all the same call-outs. It was like, wow, this is amazing. So I did a cap kit on it, like, live at BRGE, while everybody was, like, going, doing the Arsenio Hall, whoop, 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 with their fists in the air. It was sweet.
Were they? God, where was I? Fuck.
We were all cheering him on.
That's right.
I spot checked you for that.
And then that monitor's looking beautiful. He's the good board. And there you go. And people play Warlords all weekend. It was sweet.
Nice.
Very sweet.
Yeah, so lots of people playing it. Lots of kids gathered around. New generation of Warlords players.
New generation of Warlords.
New generation of Warlords.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it seemed like it was getting played pretty much the whole show because you had the volume fucking cranked on it. And
that's
yeah.
what you do with a game show.
That's the Dracula of the series.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Why wouldn't you crank it?
I know. I would do the same thing.
I want to hear that shit. I was playing it 2 days ago. Me and Doug were out there in the freezing cold shop. We played it until our fingers got numb. Like, what the hell are we doing out here? There's an arcade.
Isn't there one right here? Why would you?
Yeah, the board doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was hoping you would have unloaded that at the house at in Idaho, and we could have just played some games.
That's
in the
what
garage,
I was thinking.
But
yeah, but we would have had to fix it. Yeah, it had board problems. Still has board problems. I found a socket that was bad, but that wasn't it. I have a feeling there's some bad RAM too. But I've been very busy. I'm a busy man.
Since if Ian's gonna beat you down in the computer space, I'll beat you down on that game. I'll get $5.
Throw it in with computer space. Trade it for his Havoc.
Yeah, Havoc for Warlords.
That's not an even trade.
No, it isn't.
Yeah. Havoc. Okay, so Warlords and my conversion Havoc for your dedicated Havoc.
No.
That's getting
there.
That's
a pretty decent deal. Yeah, that's not too bad.
Yeah. Maybe like two more games?
No. Yeah. I don't think so.
Well, then I guess the answer is no.
You can have two missile commands.
Tomahawk missile, and then I need a missile command.
Yeah, tomahawk
missile command. Yeah.
I'll throw one broken missile command with that.
No.
Yep, I've also been pretty busy, but I picked up those two games, the Defender and the Tempest Cocktail. It's, actually, that Defender is the very first Williams game I will ever have owned, even though I've been collecting for like about 8 years now. So
that's really something. Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
I just I don't like the games that much, except for Make Tracks. That's the best one.
another non-Williams game.
That's the joke. Yep. Yeah. Sinistar is the second best Williams game. So, yeah, those are cool. I hope to get that working. I want to like Defender. I don't know if I actually will like it, but
it's okay.
I want to like it.
The cabinet's an ugly piece of shit, but the game's okay. I had Stargate.
Stargate's worse.
Which is a way harder version of it, and the cabinet's also ugly.
It's a pinball door Defender too, which I think looks awesome.
I agree. Yeah. I think that's really cool.
That's really rare.
And I like how they pop out at the coin door area.
It's a classic cabinet design. It's unique.
Yeah, it's not ugly at all. It's beautiful.
I think it is ugly, but it's unique ugly.
What's ugly about it?
Looks like a
piece of shit.
Too generic?
It just doesn't look well designed because none of the different pieces of it really work together.
Like a pinball coin door.
Yeah, shit sticks out. Shit's recessed in. There's not like it's just.
But
it's
it
weird.
Does have a flat control panel for a beer.
Yeah,
and I games that have flat surfaces.
Flat?
Oh yeah.
Oh really?
The control panel is completely flat.
Oh. I think it has the best Williams control panel because it's the easiest to do shit to because you don't have a curve to apply anything onto.
It's
just a slab of
wood. Well, except for the buttons, right? A million buttons.
I'm a collector of the other Williams control panels because nothing else is like them.
I know, but they also seem like a huge pain in the ass compared to the Defender one.
Yeah, because they have those fucking mounting plates like in Robotron like this.
That's why I collected them long ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just collected another one from the Blair Alley warehouse sale. Thank you, guys.
Not have the opportunity to collect them long ago.
What did you get?
Oh, I don't know. It's been converted to something else. I haven't ripped off all the bullshit to see what it is underneath.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, though. Like, I'm actually excited you got that game, because that's, you actually mixed it up quite a bit now.
It is, yeah. Two upright, well, the one upright and the one cocktail. I think I got to get another Tempest upright, so then I have all three versions of it.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool. And let's see, the other thing I picked up was a Univid 1000 test machine. I love test equipment.
Uniquid.
This came up for pretty cheap.
1 quid.
And so that's cool. It's like, it's pretty simple. It's a big-ass metal control panel with a couple of joysticks, trackball, switches, and then inside it has some power supplies and
it's like the super guns. It's like the super gun style.
Yeah.
But it has...
Yeah. So it's got a bunch of connectors, and then they made like several dozen harnesses for specific boards, which unfortunately it didn't come with, but it's pretty easy to build your own if you want.
Do those harnesses go on those Molex plugs on the left, or is it another port somewhere?
Like there's, I think it's 8 Molex plugs.
That's weird.
On the left on the top, and then there's one on the back that the monitor plugs into. And then all the controls are wired up through there. So each one is like, one has power and one's the trackball.
That's a weird design.
It is kind of weird.
That it's like right there, like, nah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay.
It's pretty decent. But it's cool.
Does it work?
I haven't tried it. There's almost nothing that can go wrong with it.
Yeah, it's just like the power supply.
Buttons. I opened it up and it's just the controls and two power supplies. It's got these
two.
It's got, so they're
the isolation transformer.
It doesn't have an isolation transformer, which is stupid, but has two switching power supplies, each of which are identical. And then it just has all of the outputs and the grounds wired together to supply double the current. Like each one supplies 7 amps on the 5 volt line. So you wire them together and you get 14 amps.
Wow.
And then there's an audio amplifier board. And I think it does some video invert stuff, because it'll take normal or inverted video.
That's cool. Then
outputs whatever to the monitor. So I think it's pretty cool. I'm glad I have it. It's another test fixture. I want all the test fixtures.
I love like all the old shit, like the obscure stuff. Like that's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. I like the vintage test equipment. I'd really like to find the Tato. Have you seen the Tato
with
bench
the little
fixture?
Wheel and shit. Yeah.
Those are fucking awesome. I'd be way into one of those if I got
that
chance.
That's rare. That makes the Pat 9000 look common.
Well, I got stuff that makes the Pat 9000 look common too.
Yeah.
Like the HP 9001.
9001.
But yeah, it's a cool little machine. It's also nice because it's portable. It's got a little handle on it, and it's got feet on the bottom. So when the controls are up, and it has feet on the back side, so you can just pick it up suitcase style and take it wherever you want.
Nice.
I think that thing looks rad. I kind of like it better than the Atari things. Not better, but it has its own like panache.
It does.
Ganache.
Yeah, it's not better than any of the stuff I already have, but it's cool, and it was a price I couldn't pass up.
Yeah, whenever you can add stuff to the toolkit, it's pretty sweet. You just have like this giant arsenal of stuff, and
yeah, it's nice. It has two joysticks on it, so I could put a crazy climber board on that.
Portable crazy climber test rig.
It's the joysticks on it are kind of interesting. They're micro switch joysticks, but they have a super short throw. They remind me of the joysticks on the Klax Cabaret, but they're not as tall. Like, they've got that really, really short throw. And it came with one extra of those, which I thought was pretty cool. Actually, it came with a bunch of extra stuff, which I gave several of those things to you guys. But
what has short throw joysticks? Klax?
Klax.
Yeah, the Atari logo joysticks.
No. The Klax Cabaret only has different joysticks than the upright kits or the upright dedicated. The upright dedicated has Atari logo micro switches.
Oh, that doesn't seem right.
And well, that's what it has.
Okay.
But the mini has different joysticks that are taller and have a super short throw.
But they're tall.
They're tall. But the throw, I mean, it feels totally different just because
it's like a 79 Celica.
So I was
you don't have to move it around.
I'm thinking going back to Qbert. So people who want to emulate Qbert, because they have these little boards now that you can buy that are a couple $100 that, you know, have all the Milestar Gottlieb games. And the problem is they can't find a joystick. If you have a Qbert joystick, you probably have a Qbert cabinet as well. And so they're trying to find like little short throw joysticks that will feel like Qbert if you twist them around, 45 degrees.
Yeah, maybe this one.
I don't know. Yeah, I forgot what they... They found something that was...
STC Rotterdam.
Maybe like those Data East joysticks that are for the Karate Champ cabs or something where they're like real short throw. I think that might have been like one of the close ones. So maybe the Q-Bert... Or, I'm sorry, the Klax Mini joystick would be a formidable option.
It's too tall.
I'm thinking too tall.
And you probably would never find one unless you bought a whole cabaret.
I've never seen them anywhere except for on the cabarets. But this one, I have one extra one. I'll have to show it to you. It's, I don't know, it feels different. It's interesting. It came with a bunch of extra parts. Not for that, just general parts. Box full of Battle Zone joystick parts, which I gave to Brian. Two complete Wico leaf switch joysticks.
Love it.
Pretty dope. A Monroe joystick, which is also a pretty nice find to get chucked in there. Real thing. Real deal. Some good stuff.
So, Andrew Wibb. You know, that'll be fucking $200 right there.
Yeah.
Huh? Who?
Yeah, if you go buy the refurb one. This one's all rusty and shit, but, you know, I got it.
Shine it up. I got some fucking... Yeah. I got some tools you can shine it up. I got some buffers and stuff.
I can deal.
Mother's
But
mag.
It doesn't... It's not the black top. It has, like, a red top to it.
Red top.
That's a brick top. A brick top?
I don't know what that was from.
That's weird. Is it
what else uses Monroe besides Gyrus Time Pilot?
Gyrus Time Pilot. And then Circus Charlie, but it's a two-way.
That's a Monroe?
Yeah, it's like a Monroe two-way. Yeah, that's a rare one right there. Circus Charlie is a cool game. Yep.
Circus Charlie's a good game.
Let's talk about Circus Charlie.
Circus Charlie sucks.
I played that at Grinker's.
It sucks.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah,
no? It does. It's a Monroe, but you don't have to go in circles. It's just a two-way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I played it on your Double Dragon cab, and it sucks.
Good soundtrack.
It is. It's cool.
It's no Blueprint.
Multiple.
It's no Circus.
Oh, my God.
I'd rather play Circus than Circus.
Just playing Circus?
Yep.
I'd rather play Tudor Fortune.
Circus is better than Circus Charlie.
No, Circus Charlie is a solid game.
Circus
is
good,
really
too.
Good.
I like the Circus Charlie art package. I think that's a really sharp looking
art. The stars
art
on the front. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's looking sweet.
It looks good. Looks nice. It's not way over the top like all this new shit.
Is that the game of the century?
Yeah. For sure.
What was Century's best game?
Century.
I don't know.
Century. What's Century's best game? Gyrus.
It's not even their game.
That's a Konami license.
Yeah.
Don't count.
It's Konami, so it doesn't count.
It has to be released by them.
It's like saying Atari's best game is Kangaroo.
Yeah, nobody would say that.
Or like, Williams' best game is Make Tracks. It's fucking ridiculous.
Williams' best game is Miss Pac-Man.
What about Brandon's updates?
Yeah, I got a couple updates. So I finally got rid of Pole Position Cockpit.
Woo! Nice.
Yeah, it's worth clipping the microphone.
Wait, there's a good Pole Position? That's a great game.
Yeah.
And you had the cockpit? That is so cool because it has like more sounds than the upright.
Yeah, four speakers.
How was it moving it out of the house?
I think I hurt my foot moving it.
Why would you get rid of that? That's such a good game.
It's kind of like Brian. I have a limited... space.
Well, I think everybody has a limited space.
Not me. I mean, it's limited. But
limited
it's not,
in your game
it ain't
room.
That limited.
You have storage.
I do.
Storage and game room are two different things.
Well,
and that could be for another episode of the Coin Rejects.
I noticed that the cockpits are not very desirable because they come up all the time. And they're dirt cheap. They're actually cheaper than the uprights in some cases. And
they're all broken, right?
Yeah. And it's like 2.5 games I measured in space. So I figured that I have.
Yeah, but if they have a sweet art, you know what I would like is a nice cockpit with Pole Position 2 art.
That actually had Pole Position 2 art on it. And I ripped it out.
You fuck.
I had it on Craigslist for like months. And I asked the local people. I asked you guys. Of course, I knew you wouldn't want it, but I thought I would ask. And no one, I even offered it for free and no one wanted it. And then Ian's like, ask Greg.
I believe I said, have you asked old Greg?
And I said, why, no, I haven't. Because he hadn't been on our local chat lately. And I texted him and like within like a couple of minutes, he's like, yep. I'm like, oh, all right. Because I should have done that months ago.
Should have asked him.
And
have him pay $100 for it.
Yeah. Well, I took the PCB out and the monitor and some other stuff. But
I remember seeing a couple of those cockpits turn up this year, and they were all like
really
cheap. 250-ish, and they seemed like they were in the same or better condition than the one you had. So it seems like if that's a game you want, you'll have plenty of chances to get one.
That was my thinking, is unlike the uprights, which... Well, they're always broken, but it's just, it's really common. It's like, it's not a rare game. They go for cheap because cockpits, no one wants them. And since no one can sell them because no one wants to buy them, they go for like dirt cheap. So I I fucking wheeled it myself across the living room and the kids jumped in it and it was fucking hilarious. And they're like all turning the wheel and shit. Yeah. And the back door was off. And so, and I had the monitor out so I could see them through the bezels I was pushing it. It's fucking awesome. And then I just like wheeled it in the kitchen and we made dinner and then,
in the cockpit. Then,
yeah.
On the engine, cooking on the block.
I cooked a fucking egg on the engine block and pole positioned a couple big blues over easy. And then, I just wheeled it into the hallway until he came. And then he like backed his truck up and then I couldn't get through the hallway because the game was taking up the whole hallway. So I climbed on top of the game, opened the door. I think that's when I hurt my foot and we like pushed it down the stairs. And then I was like, hey, just pull your truck up all the way
down the stairs
with your tailgate open. And we could probably like bridge the gap between like, you know, the door threshold and like the tailgate, but nope. And so like, we were like holding it while his wife like moved the truck. And then basically the one end of the game never touched the ground because if it did, we would be screwed. And so like, we just pivoted it on one end around and then like plopped it on the tailgate and then pushed it up. And there's like, there's a giant pile of like game sawdust on the ground the next day. And I was like, hey, that's pole position. And he didn't care.
So Atari like, dust.
Yeah.
It's free.
Free dust. I should have like picked the dust up and put it in his truck. But
game
I
is free. Didn't. Dust is $50.
But I was really happy because it was giving me anxiety because whenever you have limited space and you have something that's not working, it's just, it sucks. Because like I had it dead filled weight. With like laser discs and...
Yeah. And what are like you storing that shit on now?
Game PCBs, and now that stuff's on the floor.
Fucked up.
Like, pole position's a great vehicle. It's like an SUV, like when it's not working. It can hold a whole lot of shit, mm-hmm. but it's bad gas mileage.
I hear you, brother. I have too many games right now. I feel that anxiety.
When you had it stashed in my garage for a while, I piled like six Commodore 1541s inside and like a bunch of shit on top. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like one of those ads, like, hey, man, it's great. This vehicle has great storage capacity. And, like, you can fit fucking 20 PCBs.
This arcade game has great storage capacity.
Yeah. And it was just relieving taking it out. It sucked. Yeah. But it was cool.
Yeah. Well, you've got you do have limited space, and that was your biggest game in there. So that's a lot of space freed up there.
The biggest game that didn't work.
Yeah. It sucked. Like, I was actually, like, kind of like I was like a little bit sad. I was like, gosh, I really want a working pole position cockpit that's nice.
Oh, they're better than the uprights. They're so much better.
You know, I went through the thought process of I could get one again and it's not a big deal. So
yeah,
you could. I remember one time CJ had like six uprights in a row.
Uprights. Yeah, no one
uprights,
cares about
not that. Cockpits. You'll see when that fucking stupid board comes out.
I had an upright. I had an upright too. I don't give a shit about the FPGA.
No,
I will never buy one.
Actually, that's the game when I look around down here in the 35 games that are here, or whatever. That's the game that can go. See you later, pole position too.
I'd rather have pole position than missile command.
I'm a little different.
I don't like either of them.
But those are the two games that can go.
So that was cool. It was good. The fire sale, I did get two games.
Ooh.
Through a series of parts and trades and services.
Did I bring one home for you?
You have them in your possession?
No.
Oh.
I don't have
them. I was going to say, if I drug them.
Bad luck to talk about it before you got them in
you
the
owe
truck.
Me.
No, I mean, they're mine. So, yeah. Good luck. I got a Battlezone upright.
Nice.
With the Herp scope?
Yep.
Or non-Herp.
And Joust.
Nice.
And...
How many Jousts have you owned now?
This is the second one. The first one I bought from you.
That's what I'm thinking. You bought one for me, at least.
I forgot. Oh, wait. No, I didn't. I thought I sold that one to Brian, but no, I didn't.
No.
Did I? No.
Brian's had a couple of Jousts.
One, and, two so far.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. I think both the games are broken, so.
I would assume so, yeah.
It'll be definitely projects. But I kind of regret selling my Joust from a long time ago, like Brian did, and it'll be fun to get that going.
Yeah, I think Joust is a good game.
And then Battlezone, I don't know why, but I don't like it a lot, but
Battlezone. I've always
wanted.
Than Joust.
I've always wanted.
Battlezone's a fun game.
Yeah, I've always wanted to own one.
I wouldn't say that.
I would.
I don't think it's better than Joust, but
in my opinion, Joust too much flapping.
Yeah, there is a lot of flapping.
Yeah, but Pole Position was one of the games that I did get from Blair Alley and in a trade a long time ago, and it never ended up working, and so we kind of worked out something. So yeah, I got lucky and got a couple of good games.
They have a cool. good situation, you know. They're in an area not in Portland where we have a lot of us here, and
us
people who like to collect arcade games, and they're in Eugene, which is just 100 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
It's just enough. It's a ways, yeah. It's just enough to where like they can just be a magnet of arcade games and just suck them all in, you know. Because if you're not in an area where people collect arcade games, they just kind of can come to you. You know?
Yeah, it's like they're close to the border of California too.
The internet brings everybody closer together, but there's still a lot of people that are just like, this fucking thing. Who the hell? Yeah. Why would you want this? What is this doing here? Get this out of here. It's like a broken refrigerator. Nobody wants it. You know.
I got a broken refrigerator. You want to buy it?
Oh, no. See,
I'll trade you my broken fridge for your broken computer space.
I think my fridge is kind of broken, actually.
Case in point.
Yeah. But now the Pole Position's gone, and then that Space Invaders over at Ian's.
You gotta get that.
I'm already out of space again. So.
you're probably more tighter on space than you were before you started.
I've got a quick update. You guys want to hear that?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's pretty quick because in the middle of all whatever I was doing, I did break my hand. So there has been hardly any arcade repairing and or arcade playing since I've been one-handed, as it were. But you can play Dragon's Lair one-handed. I found that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Pretty easy. But I was troubleshooting that MCR power board before all this happened, and I didn't really get anywhere on it. And I took a break. I have to thank Ian for lending me his oscilloscope because I was using that to troubleshoot it, but I didn't actually get anywhere. And then I had it all set up still and broke my hand and couldn't finish it. So.
Hey, you can still use an oscilloscope with one hand, man.
I guess you could, but I'm not. But before I did that, I did one other repair because I was sick of messing with that. And I replaced the sockets on the Battle Zone.
Nice.
Because you, Ian, gave me a set of sockets when I first got that because you're like, you're going to need to replace those sockets.
Yep.
And
little did you know.
And that the game just started resetting like crazy. And so I was like, well, I'm going to replace these sockets and see what happens. So I replaced the sockets and the video went out.
Thanks, Ian.
So then I just pushed on some chips and wiggled some cords and the video came back. Yes. And I haven't really been playing it. I haven't really like put it on for a really long time to make sure it hasn't reset. But I've had it on for a little bit and it's been pretty solid so far. So yay for that.
Nice.
The other thing that I did was I picked up a free monitor off Craigslist.
Awesome. Oh,
yeah. A K4600.
Did you go to Newberg for that?
Newbert?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's JJ's friend. Like, yeah.
It's like 30 minutes away.
His name's Mark or something.
I don't know. I didn't meet him.
Because, he just left it on the curb?
Left it in the driveway. You load it up, peel out, call him a cocksucker.
Yeah, exactly. So I had the broken hand. I was like, well, I can't lift a monitor with just like one hand and position it in the car without necking it. So I was like, hey, do you think you could help me load this in? Because I got a broken hand. They're like, nope.
It's fucking free, man.
That's why JJ don't hang out with that dude no more.
And so I had my wife go with me, and they were basically like, yep, it's out in the driveway. Just, you don't have to knock on the door. Just pick it up, take it away. I was like, okay.
Cold-hearted.
See
ya.
So I called him a cocksucker, and I peeled out.
Yeah.
You could totally lift it with one hand, man. Come on.
Well, you can lift with one hand, but get it in the car and make sure that it's positioned correctly and everything so it's not going to break.
Grab it by the fucking side with the tube facing you and you just fucking plop it in there.
Nah, I didn't want to chance it.
I've done it many times.
But so I got that. I haven't fired it up yet, but I've got it. It's got some nice Mr. Do burn on the, it's a vertical frame.
Yeah.
It's good to have those frames.
So, yeah.
Uncommon.
That would work in a Q-Bert cabinet.
It would?
Yeah. With some nice burn on it.
It would love it.
So that's it. Not much.
Well,
not much going
better
on.
Better than nothing.
That's
better
something. Than nothing. A lot something. Of people. Hey, not only did you get pick up free monitors off the road, Wells Gardner 4600.
Yeah.
Reminds me, a few years back, I bought a Geo 8 for $50 and from an old operator. and the schedules didn't work out. And he's like, yeah, it's in the driveway under a tarp. So he rolled up to Seattle and picked it up.
Yeah, as if anybody in their right mind would fucking pick that thing up and steal it.
I mean, yeah, I mean, even I was crazy. They fucking catch on fire even when they're turned off.
Yeah, it comes with a fire extinguisher. It's in the driveway.
It's fucking strapped onto the A-pillar. You know, they got the little crossbar across the back with the input protection board. Yeah. I gotta post that shit up on Clove.
CO2 smoke alarm built in.
Right next to your fucking added on gauge cluster.
Fucking shift light.
All right, so I guess that's it.
Yep.
Did we do a thing?
So
we did.
Send us a voicemail at
503-766-2263.
And let's go to bed.
Yeah.
Yep.
Merry Christmas and
happy
fuck Santa Claus
New Year.
Yeah. Shout out to Game Room Junkies. Later.
Shout out to Arcade Hangout. Woo-hoo. Bye, boy.